Okay, let's go ahead and pull out our homework assignment for today and see what we have. I've already gotten some feedback from that. Thank you, Bia. You can go ahead and turn off your camera now. There you go. Thank you. And I know you just talked to me. Isaac, would you like to start us off? For last week, our homework was, for this week, find three situations in which it is possible to bless from below. Not that you were able to, not that you actually did, but you're beginning to identify this opportunities for the Lamb nature. So.
This one was very difficult.
Okay.
I did get three, but, you know, a lot of them were, like, more general. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Just like, well, I think every single one of them was an ongoing thing.
Because okay.
I haven't really come to that place where I was just every moment.
Sure.
That I could just you know, see it happening. And one I got was about, I don't want to be too specific about it, but, you know, when you actually have an area of authority, and you can use it to sort of protect yourself and make sure you can gain from it and make sure you get what you deserve, because maybe you've earned that area of leadership or authority. And what I want to do is, even though I may have that in a certain space, use it to get low and bless others.
Okay, that's good.
I think that's what the Lamb did anyway. You know, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation. And so I think that, I guess that was my thought.
Good, thank you, that was good. Yeah. Jason.
That makes me, you know, I couldn't find anything last week, but him saying that reminds me of one of the biggest things the Lord worked on with me, and it was whenever I was a manager at Sonic. It was my first time in a managerial position, and it wasn't the best Sonic in the world. We had people skip out on their shifts, come in late, whatnot. And we were constantly understaffed for the night shift, and, you know, we'd get real busy, and the guys wouldn't always have stuff ready whenever I asked them to get ready, and I would get mad, you know. Just to kind of confess this is embarrassing, but there were just times where I just kind of threw tantrums. Like, it was embarrassing. Just like, you know, we always think our anger looks righteous, but
until we actually see it.
And then it's just like, man, I'm just a child. But it was becoming very overwhelming. I actually had to get before the Lord. I called my dad and asked him to pray for me, and I just broke down. Like, it was just too much for me.
Yeah.
But after that, and after a talk with my manager, the GM, you know, I was able to just like approach it differently, and I stopped pretending that like people had to listen to me all the time because I'm the manager. They had to, you know, they had to follow what I had to say. So I was able to get low and encourage them. You know, I would, like, say, you know, I would point out some things that they were doing wrong, but I would also point out things they were doing right. And, you know, and I would try, I mean, it was not me, it was the Lord in me trying to be more of a comfort to, or, like, you know, when times were hard, At the job, not adding more stress than I ought to, because I realized that, you know, if the leader's freaking out, then all the employees start to freak out too, because this is the guy who's supposed to know what's going on, and he doesn't. So now we don't know what's going on, and it was a big.
Well, it sounds like the Lord really had your number, and he was actually teaching you a lot. I mean, you just kind of listed off a whole lot of different lessons, you know. You know, just lots. So that was good. Good job. So let's hear from Marcia. Marcia, are you there? I see your circle, your bubble. Hi, Marcia. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. It's always good to see your face, but I have to turn like this to see you. So it's good to see your face. How did you do with the homework this week?
I struggle a little bit with it. Mm. I find it hard to, you know, I felt like I kindly understood it in my brain, but I did not really understood it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do know
what
you mean.
It really empathize.
So did you have anything written down, or did you make any progress with it at all?
Well, now I hear the guys talking. I got a little bit more feeling for it. So I was maybe thinking, this is not particularly something from last week, but just something ongoing. Mm-hmm. Going to a place where you're really vulnerable, mm-hmm. like you're presenting yourself in a really vulnerable way, because how do I say it? And it's like not fun to be vulnerable. Like you feel very weak. It's more fun to be strong. At least I find it more fun to be strong. but you feel like that's where the Lord leads you, to be at the place when you're vulnerable, and maybe that's the place where other people can get something from it, instead of trying to be that strong person that got it all together. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Yes, it does. Okay. I think that if you were to offer that little step to the Lord, that he could open that to you and really show you a lot about how to proceed in his nature. Because I think a lot, and it goes back to what Isaac said, and Jason was kind of touching on it in his story, but Jesus had to descend and get low, and from that place of lowliness brought salvation to all of us. And so he was vulnerable and weak and not in control, and that's where he blessed. So I think that's right, Marcia, and that you're on the right track. It could partly be a failing on my part, you guys, that I didn't properly prepare you for this lesson. I had 1 minute, and let me just say what I'm thinking here. I didn't give you any examples, so my bad on that. And that would have helped you, because when you heard things, you went, oh, you know. And I have to say, these are heart exercises, not activities. And so it requires being in tune with the Lord to a certain degree so he can start to point things out, because these are things he has to point out. We can't figure this stuff out by ourselves. So in that sense, I failed you in that I didn't prepare you to like point you in that direction. So whatever you can write down from this past week to hand in, that's great. But let's try and we'll kind of roll it over into this next week a little bit and see if you can just stay open and maybe spend some time and ask the Lord, Lord, will you show me, is there an area where maybe I didn't know that I could, you know, in this position of being under or low, that this was a place you wanted me to be a blessing, you know, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, I am willing to bet money that things will be a little clearer for you, okay? And that said, I'll give you an example of mine, of what I did. This is a general one that I could, an ongoing one I wrote down. Someone cuts me off in traffic or pulls out in front of me. I'm sure it's never happened to anyone but me. I can slow down and make sure they are safe instead of going up on him and honking my horn, right? Like, what are you, that was wrong. You shouldn't have cut me off. You know, that was my spot in the pavement at the red light, and you took it, you know. But instead of that, back off, slow down, make sure they're okay, make sure other people are okay, and just offer forgiveness right there in my heart, instead of a little that no one else sees but the Lord sees. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of my examples. And I like to use traffic as a good place to practice the Spirit of Christ, because it's really easy to have a bad attitude since no one's really watching you when you're driving, you know. So it's a good place to practice taking the lower seat, letting people get in front of you, staying calm with the Lord and just loving them, you know. So it's one of my favorites for just practice, you know, and staying in tune. Okay. Any other comments before we move on from homework today or thoughts? Did you have your hand up earlier? Or?
It's also the pandemic, and like getting low and blessing others requires others.
It does. That is true.
But I do believe that even in this, you know, that it's just like, because I'm still getting out at work and mm-hmm. I still have interactions with my family, and I'm sure there are things there that I've just been blind to. So I don't want to use that as an excuse, but
well, you're right, and that's a really good point. We're all shut up in our homes. What chance do we have? Well, the thing is, attitudes know no bounds. And attitudes can be in us even when we're not around people. We can have attitudes about people. Don't know if you've ever noticed that. I've noticed that. A little thought will come up about a person. I'll be like, that person, they always... And something that I'm learning to do is right there. Don't wait for me to be around that person for it to be Christ. It can be Christ towards that person right then when no one's there but me and the Lord. And I can begin to serve them by prayer and covering, but not just do it as a religious action, from my heart. Like genuinely change spirits from a self-righteous, resentful, unforgiving spirit to one that just wants to give Jesus. I can come under that person without them being there. I can be lower than that person and support them in prayer, release them with forgiveness. See, this can get big when you start getting the hang of it. This can become, oh, your life, no matter what activity you're doing. And so that's the challenge here. And that's one of the reasons why I'm having these activities, because we don't go here naturally. We just don't. We just don't even think along these lines. But if we can learn to get our hearts open in this kind of a way and be attuned to the Spirit, you can have this relationship going on with the Holy Spirit all day long in the smallest of situations, and the life is flowing and doesn't need a certain circumstance. So thank you for bringing that out, Jason, because that is really good. A lot of things we can't see because we're not interacting with people. But if we can be attuned to attitudes and little motives and things going on inside of us, we can be dealt with by the Lord all day long and bring forth his nature with no one there. It's not ideal, but the Lord can do it. So, okay, thank you for that. That was actually a really good point. I'm glad you said that. Okay, moving on. Before I get to my great big fat chart on the board, I wanted to qualify something I said last week. It occurred to me that maybe I said something too slanted in one direction and could have been taken as out of balance, and that would have also been a lack on my part. I was talking about the Macedonians giving that gift to the poor that Paul took, and how that was the spirit of Christ, a blessing from below, because there had been a famine. And then there was a verse a little further in that same chapter, how Jesus made himself poor so that he could make us rich. And that's what the Macedonians did. They gave not when they were rich. They gave when they were poor. Remember that part when I was sharing last week? And then I said something to the effect of, you know, we have this image in our heads that if we're being blessed, you know, and he's providing for us supernaturally, that is some kind of a sign of being spiritual. And that, you know, and I think that maybe I put the brakes on that a little too much. And I just wanted to qualify something. It's really important to learn to walk by faith in your finances and for God to provide for us. It's really important, especially, I know you guys do fundraisers to be able to go to Ireland, the two sitting here. And anyone who's going to be in any kind of ministry, faith for finances is a huge thing to get under your belt and to know how to manage finances in the Lord and to receive from people who want to give, okay? That's really important. So I didn't mean to, I thought about later like, oh man, I could have sounded like I didn't think that that was valid. And it's totally valid, okay? And not only that, but the Lord might bless someone financially and they'd be very financially comfortable all their life. The Lord can do that if he wants, okay? What I was trying to point out is it's just pure Jesus when you're giving from the place where you're lacking. Not that you shouldn't have people give to you when you're trying to raise support for a mission trip or something like that. But I can speak in really concrete terms sometimes, and that's my lack. But, you know, yes, absolutely on the other one, and praise the Lord. But let's all be real here and say, but Jesus, you know, he got support during his ministry. You know, there were women who actually financially supported Jesus during his ministry. It's actually in Luke, the Gospel of Luke. But all that ended when he went to the cross. So just think about that, you know, and you're like, there's a time when you go to the cross in a way where you're not drawing from that. It's something else in your spirit, the Jesus in you that you're going to draw from to do that. So that's what I was trying to bring across. And so I wanted to bring that into balance and focus for everybody because I think it's important to understand that there's more than one thread in the Lord. But the Bible does say it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that's a really good maxim to just set your life by, you know. Okay. Don't know if that was necessary or not, but just in case it was. All right. Let's look at what we've got here for today. Today, we're going to look at the two trees. The two trees. Now, I know this is a very familiar area. I feel like the Lord has shared with me in a way that's helped me. And it's helped me identify things that I didn't identify before in everyday living. And that's why I'm excited to share it with you. Most of what I'm sharing with you in these classes on Mondays is things that I have been walking in, learning the Lord and walking in practical ways. And so I'm not just sharing truths out of the scriptures. I'm sharing with you ways that I'm walking. And I feel like, what a better way to help other people grow in the Lord, right? Not just the knowledge of the Spirit showing me something in the Word. So what comes down to, I want to introduce it this way. I want to introduce the contrast of the two trees, which are the tree of life behind me on my left and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil behind me on my right. But I want to start with Jesus's mind. And then in light of how Jesus sees things, let's take a look at the two trees. Okay? Let's go to John chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So, when we follow Jesus, he gives us a light, but it's not the light that we're used to, and it's not the light that we think. It's not the light in our brains. It's not the light physically with our physical eyes. It's not the light of understanding something that someone's telling us. It's a light of life. And it kind of goes along with what our homework assignment was this past week that we were challenged by. Okay, it's kind of in that arena. Okay, skip down to verse 15. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. Okay? We judge after the flesh. Jesus judges no man. Now, and I just wrote, we want to understand, we want to know the Lord. So we come to a class, or we come and we hang out with somebody that's got the Lord, and we want to get the Lord for them. And the first thing we do, usually, is put our focus caps on and try to grasp what they're saying and try to get it. I got to get it. And sometimes you can feel that it's real and it's life and it's flying at you, but you don't quite get it. Does anyone know what I'm talking about at all? Because I know what I'm talking about. We want the Holy Spirit to share with us in a way that it will be clear and comfortable for us here. We want it to be clear and comfortable, okay? But the carnal mind can't receive the things of God. That's in Romans 8. So we can never receive it that way. And the idea would be that you keep trying to get it long enough where you go, well, this doesn't work. I need to try to receive it in another manner, okay? The light of life here in verse 12 doesn't hit your mind like that, okay? It doesn't appeal to the mind. It's not attractive to your mind. You have to follow Jesus to the cross in order to have the light of life. Following Jesus to the cross and your end and your death, and that's where you find him as your life, at that end, your personal end. Not just the time where you see him in the Word, but when you come to an end in an experiential way, Jesus becomes the life in you, and that life is your light and your guide and how you see from that time forward. Okay, I know that's probably not fully clear, but we're just laying some groundwork here. Let's go to John 12, 47. We're going to look at the second half of the verse. I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Well, my goodness, he could have judged it. He was the only sinless guy around. If anybody had a right to start condemning and pointing out things that were wrong, it would have been Jesus, right? But he didn't do that. He came to save the world. Well, how is he going to do that? By losing his life in an unjust death. to the people that deserve to be judged. You know, the guy in traffic cuts me off and I start judging, right? But Jesus wants to save that guy. Save that guy from an accident. Save that guy's soul unto the Lord. Save that guy conflict or a ticket. Whatever. Save that guy. And to do that, he takes the hit. He pays the price. That is the nature of Jesus to do that. And that's his way. That's his life. Okay, we'll get to it, but I'm setting some stuff up. So this is Jesus. He doesn't judge by starting to reason and using his thoughts and getting information about people and saying, oh, Isaac, that was really good what you said. Oh, Jason, what you did when you were the boss, that was really bad. Okay, that would be totally working by the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, instead of letting Jesus live in me, let his mind be in me, and begin to be able to discern, here in front of me are two branches in the vine. Whatever they manifest, whatever they act like, that's who I see, and that's who I want to relate to by Christ, and so I will naturally give my life and begin to see in that way, and whatever will bring forth more life for you, okay? So, now, with that set up, let's look in Genesis chapter 2. We're going to go to the two trees now. We're headed there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. You probably know these verses, but it's just good to look at them afresh, right? Genesis 2, 9 says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, that is good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Okay? So just regular old trees and then two very special trees. Verses 15 through 17. "And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die.'" Okay? So there's the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is associated with death. Okay? So for the Lord, it's not a matter of right and wrong. It's a matter of life and death. I don't want to lose anyone, so that should be pretty basic for all of us. Yes? Pretty clear? Pretty clear? Okay. Now let's skip over to chapter 3 and look at verse 6. Genesis 3, 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Okay? So what happened when they ate? Death. Right in that moment, separation from God, not the life of Jesus flooding them. They're on a whole different plane. Okay? And we're going to look at what that is. Her first mistake was not letting the mind of Christ in her, because Jesus said that he didn't come to judge. And she decided that that tree was going to make her wise. She made a judgment. And I just want to point this out. This is kind of an interesting little phrase in verse 6 there. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good." When the woman saw that the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was good. It seemed to split things up into what's good and what's evil seems good. That's why we fall for it. It's not that we want to do evil necessarily. We make judgments based on what we think is good, and we eat from that tree. But Jesus said, "I judge no man." He didn't make those kind of judgments. Instead, whatever he speaks, he hears it from his Father. Whatever he sees his Father doing, that's what he does. And Jesus on the cross is the tree of life, okay? So there's a whole different relationship going on in Jesus and the tree of life. It's not the same kind of relationship at all. So let's look. I'm going to back up here. I hope that everybody on Skype can see the chalk clearly. Let's look at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil first. I have it titled K of G and E because it's just way too many words. So, so here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. First and foremost, bottom line, where this whole tree comes from? Knowledge in your head. It comes in from information. What you see, what you hear, and what you think. Okay? I tell you, this is huge. It's hard to divide this stuff out on the inside at first, but the more you stay with it and tune into the Lord, this stuff becomes huge. But this is what happens. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil takes whatever information you give it, and it splits it into two camps. It either goes in the good camp, things that are good, or it goes in the evil camp, things that are evil. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory, right? So any information that comes at you, you know, to use Jason's example, the employee that did not stock his station, which camp would that be? Well, that, if you're going to judge by this tree, that is evil. That was wrong. It's going to mess up the next shift. It's going to slow down customer service. It's stressful for the boss. It's evil, okay? But the employee that always makes it on time for his shift when you have to go home, well, that you like that guy. As a matter of fact, you think you and he could get along just fine out in the real world. You'd be friends. So we automatically do it. We don't, because we have this old nature working in us that we think we do that filters things in this fashion. Now, let's define good and evil a little bit more. Good, it's not really a universal standard. It's really what's good for me. Okay. That's where it comes down to. So whatever profits me or benefits me, what helps me out, I always make that the good thing. Who knew? If it's pleasing or pleasant, I like it, I enjoy it, I want it, then it's good. If it's what I prefer, we all have our preferences, then it goes into the good camp. If it's evil, it makes me less. I don't want to be in the lower seat, right? I don't want to be less. I want to be more. That's what the old nature does. It limits me, and I call it evil. Like somebody, maybe there's a boss or a leader somewhere that doesn't give me the recognition I deserve and doesn't listen to my ideas or doesn't let me do what's in my heart for the Lord. Or I don't know. I'm just, you know, reaching here. It limits you. We think that person's off from the Lord. They must be wrong because I heard from God. And I know that this project or this idea would be just the thing. So that leader may not be evil to us, but maybe they're just a little off or not quite right. But still, it's in the knowledge of good and evil camp. Or anything that makes us lower. Getting fired, getting a demotion, you know, losing the argument, whatever. Anything that makes us appear lower to ourselves or others, we always put that in the evil camp. So knowledge in the head always runs along this line, and it divides everything. And when you do this, some people end up on the good side for you. Some people end up on the bad side based on your judgments. And now you have cliques, you have factions, you have denominations, you have wars, you have arguments. It's all based on this division that knowledge, living by knowledge and judging by knowledge, will do in us. Okay? Now, let's look at the tree of life over here. The tree of life doesn't get fed by what comes into your head. Doesn't come in by your eyes, by what you see, what you hear, nor is it what you can figure out in your brain. So the more you go down that path, the further you separate from the Lord in your own relatings and dealings, not like getting saved, but, you know, as far as you're not in tune with him and you're not in tune with his life if you're going by what's in your brain. Not that our brains are passive, not that we don't use our brains, not that we don't think, but our life, we don't draw from there as our life source. Jesus is in our heart, and he's in our heart as anyone remember? Spirit, not like a little guy, like not like a little action figure sitting in a little like room in your heart that you can like open the door and say, "Hi, Jesus," and he goes, "Hey, you got enough room in there? Oh yeah, it's all good. Okay, gotta run. Talk to you later. Okay, bye." Like we don't do that. That's weird. Well, I hope we don't do that. It's a spirit and a nature, okay? And it doesn't come in through our thoughts and ideas and judgments. You can't go there and find him, which is why it's hard to get it. I'm putting air quotes up. That's why you don't get it, all right? That's why, because it doesn't come in there. Jesus is in your heart. So where does he get his information? God's reality. His word, the Lord's word, God's word. That's where he gets it. You walk by faith. You don't wait for a feeling or an input into your senses first. It's all Jesus in your heart. So it's got to be a walk by faith based on the word. Okay? So I said life in the heart, but you can put spirit. You could put nature. You could put disposition. Like a person has a certain bent. Jesus has a bent. You know, he's more than a bent, but he has a disposition, a way of being, where he always will bless others and let himself be forgotten, or he will always let the other person be forward and he backs off. It's always like that with him. And so if that's what you're in tune with, you know, that spirit and that nature, then you will manifest and express that naturally without trying. Okay? So he doesn't see by the knowledge of good and evil. For him, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So when Jesus was feeding the 5,000 and when he was famous and really popular, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. When he's betrayed by a disciple, when he gets put up in front of a false mock puppet trial, when he gets sold out by his own people, that's pretty hard stuff. We would all say that's evil. The disciples certainly felt like that was evil. But for Jesus, it all came by the hand of his Father. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So he can go to the cross because he's not judging by good and evil. He has a spirit and a nature and a way. He's not going by those circumstances. Okay. That's why Jesus can do what's impossible for us. He has a completely different way of being. He doesn't go by this stuff that we go by. It makes it impossible. When we go by our judgments in our heads, it makes it impossible for us to find Jesus. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Like, where's the Lord? I want it to be Christ right now. And it's just not, you know? And I mean, I know I've been there many times and we'll probably be there again. Because as long as we're judging based on what's good for me or what's bad for me, we're already drawing from the wrong tree. So we're already set up to fail as far as the nature of Jesus is concerned. Let that soak in. We're set up to fail. It can't be. You can't get to Jesus from judging things after the knowledge of good and evil. There has to be a switch into beginning to draw from Jesus in your heart, regardless of what's in your head. And now this is the beautiful thing about Jesus. You don't have to wait till you're right, good, on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to get to Jesus. You can be doing well and think highly of yourself, or you can be a total disaster and have just failed, like losing your temper or whatever, and it doesn't matter. As long as you change trees, the Lord accepts it. So you can be a total mess and everything can be wrong and you could have failed, or you could be confused or overwhelmed or just feel dead inside. It doesn't matter. The minute you begin to draw from Jesus in your heart by faith is the minute God accepts that as true of you. Well, before that. But it will begin to flow. That doesn't make any sense to us. We have to get it right. You know, we have to make it right, or we have to understand it or first. No, you don't. Because it's with your heart, not with your head. This is like the head tree, and this is like the heart tree. So within this realm of this life in the heart reality is this surrender or lose, not in control, that we talked about a few weeks ago. Remember we talked about the lamb is not in control. Well, that's part of his nature. He lets his Father decide everything, and he just obeys his Father right into death. That's just lamb all the way. And if you are living from Jesus in your heart, I can tell you your future. Because Jesus will go there and he'll take you with him and life will come forth. The beauty of the Lord will come forth. Okay. in this realm of the Spirit of Christ being where we draw from and not our judgments and good and evil is lowliness of mind. This is part of blessing from below, kind of like we were talking last week. Don't have to be in charge. You don't have to be number one to be a nice, beautiful stream of his life in nature. You don't have to be noticed. You don't have to be applauded. You don't have to be a leader. You don't have to be given a domain or a specific ministry, and now it's going to be Christ in me. It can be Christ in you whenever you decide, with the help of his Spirit, to begin to draw from his life. I know the Spirit has to teach us and lead us here, but I'm just saying, okay, just to make the distinction. This life works by oneness. You will never be dependent on yourself again. You won't trust your own reasonings. You won't trust what you think is right. You won't trust what you think is wrong. Whatever the Lord is, however he is, if you're in the middle of a storm and he's not talking, he's fast asleep in the boat, well, you're with him. He's not talking, you're not talking. He's not panicking, you're not panicking. He's not doing anything, even though it's chaos, you're not doing anything. He wants to go minister to the children. Then unlike the disciples, you don't push the children away. You're in tune with his nature. You're one with him. Whatever he wants flows through you. You're aware of his movements and on the inside. He deeply desires to please and glorify his Father. You won't have to work that up or be persuaded or remember to do that if you're drawing from this life. Your deepest desire, his deepest desire, will work in you and move in you. Instead of dividing, you know, this was right and that was wrong, everyone's gathered into Christ. He wants to gather. So the cross is a great division, but it's also the great gathering place. It divides Christ from everybody else, because whatever is not Christ stays in the grave, but it gathers us all into Christ, into oneness with him. He wants us with him in this way. He doesn't want you to wait till you get it, or till you're good enough, or till you know enough. You can be, I suppose, a very young believer in the Lord, and if you grasp this relationship, you can slip right in. Now, most of us need a little more time to figure it out because we're so enamored with good that it takes us a while to figure out that that's not what God's looking for. We have to go through a few things to figure out that that's never ends up in life going the good way. Never ends up in life before we're ready to abandon it. But, you know, we may have our Ishmaels or whatnot along the way, but if you have a heart that wants the Lord, he will get you here. He will get you here, okay? So that's the gist of what I wanted to share. I don't know how well it's coming across to you. For me, it's incredibly clear that, okay, when I'm in a situation and I'm starting to get either frustrated or angry or feel wounded or you know, I feel like something's wrong or I'm stressed out, I can just kind of stop in my heart and say, wait a minute. Where am I judging from? Where am I living from? Where am I proceeding from? Because if I'm angry with brother, sister, so-and-so, if I'm frustrated, if I want my way and I'm not getting it and I've kind of got this thing going, this push for my way, then I must be living here. And I can stop, say, Lord, and just kind of get low for a minute, like, okay, I don't have it, I don't know, I don't see, just don't trust any of my judgments, I don't trust what I think is right or what is wrong. You want me with you, and begin to just draw from that by faith and begin to walk. It's almost like walking on water because you can't do it, but you are. I know that makes no sense, but neither does walking on water. So in the physical universe. And so you begin to learn to slip over into a heart relationship where you can draw from his nature by faith and begin to reject good judgments and evil judgments and really anything that's coming in at you, making a judgment based on your own ability to judge. You might have something come in and you go, Lord, you know, what is this? And he'll explain it to you and his mind as to how to proceed. But every time we go by what benefits us or what's bad for us, we will end up in death. And there will be no Jesus there in us, no Jesus living in us. Okay, so at a certain point, you begin to realize that and you start becoming open to other options. Okay, and so we're looking for Jesus as the Spirit in the heart. And when we get there and we can genuinely choose not to eat that good and evil, don't eat that. He said, don't eat it, you'll die. You have to choose, I'm not going to eat that this time. I'm going to go with the nature of Christ. That is the moment that you are walking on the water with the Lord. It's not about what you feel. It's not about what you see. okay? Because this is all spirit and life. These are things that you don't see with your eyes or comprehend with your brain. And so it's probably why it got overlooked in the garden, huh? Because it's hard for us to grasp. Okay, that's kind of what I wanted to share. Any thoughts or comments from the two of you or questions? Yeah, Isaac.
I wanted to say something. I'd never thought of it this way before, but you had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. You always think of good and evil as judging what is right and what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have in there, it's more what is right and what is wrong for me. You know what
it's based on self.
Exactly. So it's about, so what's evil to you is what makes you, you receive less, you limit it, or you lose your power, or you go lower. And that's what's evil.
And then we think that person's evil, when that could be God's tool. Like exactly. Nebuchadnezzar, right? Yeah.
I think it's what he was saying, what you said, that's really cool. The first thing that happened when Adam and Eve ate the apple wasn't knowledge of good and evil, as it were, like, you know, the law, just like, mm-hmm. this is righteous and this is unrighteous. It was knowledge of themselves.
It was
and
self-awareness.
It was just, that's all that takes to get good and evil. As soon
Thank
as you,
you
see yourself, you know then,
Very
oh, what's
going
to be good for me, what's going to be bad for me.
Thank you. I could have just had you say it and then everyone would know what I meant. That's great. That's exactly it. But just, I will get to that. That's another good point to pivot to the spirit. When you realize that you're aware of yourself and judging based on you, when you pick up on that, you know it's time to step into the nature of Christ because he is self-forgetting. And you choose to put your focus on the Lord and you choose to, as soon as you got to push your view out of looking at yourself and looking at the Lord. Yes.
Well, I was just, it's like even going based off of what Jason said. In the Bible it said that Eve thought that it would be good to eat and it was good for her. That was the thought. It was that, again, that self-awareness even mm-hmm. that caused her to eat the tree, and it wasn't the law. Because it's just coming to me now that in Romans, you know, when it talks about the law is not evil, but it exposes the evil. That whole thing is that the you know, it's the self-interest that takes over the law, and that is the whole thing of good and evil.
That's the whole thing of good and evil. It's what's good for me or what's evil for me. It's based on self. So I'm looking at everything based on myself. But the word's not based on me. It's based on the Spirit of God. It'll take you right in. But it feels so wrong. It's like counterintuitive to do this because good. The tree of the knowledge of evil looks good. It looks like the right way to do it. And we get the minute you do, you're deceived. So this will be something you can pursue for the rest of your life. Lindsay.
I might have an example.
Okay.
That I've been living sitting here.
Oh, okay. Is it one that you're willing to share?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think I can. I'm in a situation where there's something that we do a certain way, and we do it this way all the time, and it didn't work for one person. So I get a phone call, hey, can you fix this? This is wrong. Well, no, it's not. It's exactly the way it always is. It's mm-hmm. such and such and such and such. Oh, well, this one person is confused. And the knowledge of good and evil goes off in me because it makes me look bad.
Yeah.
It makes me look like I messed something up and now so-and-so can't this and they're confused. And I start going down this whole line of, but we always do it this way, and it's here, and can't this person just... And the Lord's like, can you not just look bad and lay down your life for this person to get me? Like, where... You can be right all day long, and it's just full of death.
Yeah.
It's just death.
And that person will never get the Lord.
There's no Jesus for anyone.
Yeah.
But you are right.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking that it's like lodged up there.
Yeah.
You know, and the heart for Jesus that's like, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want that for you. I don't want to release that on you. But it's still lodged up there.
It's so normal, isn't it?
It's a real, there has to be a real shift.
Yeah.
Like a real, you know, because it doesn't just go away when the heart for Jesus rises. Like, they're still both there, at least in me.
That yes, that's right.
You know,
thank you, that's good.
But
so, Lindsay, what do you do when that happened? What do you do when you have this heart for Jesus, but you've got this thing that's kind of pounding at you?
I mean, let the heart for Jesus win. Like, Lord, and for me, like, it's a choice. It's really there. Like, Lord, I can open up my heart. Okay, Lord, how do you want to do this thing right now that is not how we normally do it, that is maybe overkill, maybe it doesn't make sense to me, maybe it isn't the way I would do it, maybe, you know, whatever. But what is going to be you and for your people right now? What do you want to do? You know, and like, let everything that makes sense to me and how I would do it go out the window, because it might be the efficient way, but if there's no life in it, then who gives a rip?
Right. Amen. You know? Amen.
So.
Thank you.
Anyway.
How's that for a good example, guys? Is that helpful? So I don't have to give an example for your homework, because Lindsay is our example for what you're going to do for your homework this week. Okay? So let me just give that. That was a perfect closeout. Thank you, Lindsay, for bringing the Lord that way. Note the times. And now this is a heart exercise. You're going to have to probably get with the Lord and not just passively, like I kind of expected you to, just kind of notice things. I'm sorry. You're going to have to spend some time with the Lord. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know these steps that we're talking about in class. I want it to be real, not something that someone's going to talk about, you know, and then, wah, wah, wah. I mean, who cares what I say, really? Well, all that matters is Jesus in your heart, not what I tell you, you know. So note the times when you are viewing something based on the knowledge of good and evil. Become aware. Tune your heart in. I want you, Jesus. There's going to have to be a contrast if you're going to make the switch from you to Jesus, okay? You're going to have to see these areas. We all do. So note the times when you are viewing something based on the knowledge of good and evil, okay? And we can't change it all right now, and I'm not expecting you to, but this is what I would like you to do. You would make a notation, oh, I did this, my sister said something and I got upset or something. You know, it could be something like that. And then ask the Lord to give you something from the word that you can receive into your heart so you have something to draw from that's other than the knowledge of good and evil. So this homework will take a little more work, because you're going to have to get in the word too. I'm trying to combine everyday living with finding things in the word that go with that. See what I'm saying? I'll read it again for you, Lindsay. Note times when you are viewing something based on the knowledge of good and evil. Ask the Lord to give you something from the word that you can receive into your heart so that you can begin to get your mind renewed. And, you know, this isn't just homework, folks. This is real life. I'm just kind of giving you a push in the right direction. If you are on fire and you want Jesus, these homework assignments, these are real things that people who want the Lord and have gotten hold of the Lord, they're things that they do based on wanting the Lord without it being a homework assignment, okay? So I'm just trying to put you in the right direction of how to live with the Lord every day, okay? So combined with this is continue to roll over last week's homework assignment if you did not complete it, and or if you feel like you can improve, and just ask the Lord, Lord, what am I missing here? Will you show me? And if you really want to know, man, he answers those prayers so fast. I know he does for me. Is everyone clear on the homework that needs it? That would be Marcia and then the two of you for sure. I don't think Kim is on today.
I may need to retype that second half that you said.
Okay, I'll give it when we're off. Okay. Let's just close with prayer, shall we? Lord, we're here. Like, our hearts are here. And just like the song we started with, the perfect song for this particular class, Lord, we don't comprehend it. We don't get it fully, but it's you that we want anyway. We don't have to comprehend it. If we get you, we'll have it, Lord. And so we say, we want you. We want open hearts. We want to learn the difference between the junk that goes on in our brain and the Jesus is just waiting to live right out of our hearts, Lord. And like Lindsay shared, to be able to make a step, to make a stand for Jesus in the heart, and to be able to see the contrast between the knowledge of good and evil in the head and Jesus, that sweet spirit coming out of our hearts. Lord, help us this week. Help us with our homework, not as homework, but as ways that you want to talk to us and to help us to get a hold of you. We love you, Lord, and we want more of Jesus. We want him for your sake, and we want you more for us too. We want it to decrease and for you to increase. So have your way this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank everyone on Skype. We love you, and we'll see you next week.